This material is subject to copyright. No unauthorized recording, editing, copying, or distribution is permitted without the consent of the Economic Research Council. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.ercouncil.org. Audio lectures by the Economic Research Council.
Thank you, Damon, and thank you, Greg, and thank you all for joining this evening. But what I was going to suggest I do is talk for about 10 minutes about the kind of history and provenance of this idea, some of which you may well know already. Talk a little bit about how it's going to, it's sort of manifesting itself in public policy announcements and so on. And then talk a little bit about the future and how sort of the work that I'm doing, particularly around the development of this big society network, to look at how we can begin to promote some support entrepreneurship and some new ideas around that. But given the nature of the emergent nature of this idea, it's often best to do these things in conversation with people themselves and so on. I find it easier if we can just do that in a series of questions or in conversations and so on. So 20% of the time we take up me just saying, giving you a few thoughts and ideas about whether this is the point, how this is emerging, where it's going, and then the rest of the time I prefer, hopefully you will benefit from having a conversation with myself and so on. I indeed will should benefit from that. Sound fine? Good, that's good then. So let's just talk a little bit about the background and history to this idea. I think shortly after David Cameron, surprisingly, won the leadership of the Conservative Party, there was clearly an attempt, a rather urgent attempt, and a rather energetic attempt to kind of begin to rebrand the party and detoxify some of the issues around it. And at the time, with some mockery in the public, a whole suite of different groups were set up to explore some of those issues. And I was particularly interested at that time in what was happening around the internet and how the internet was beginning to transform politics and particularly issues around transparency. I'd also been doing a lot of work looking at the emerging, burgeoning community of social entrepreneurs and the whole debate around the role and the contribution that social entrepreneurs could make to civil society and to public services and so on. So there was a suite of very energetic, high energetic meetings. There was a special energy about those meetings in those days and so on, and some very good work emerged from it, covering things like notions of social action, well-being, particularly for me, the issues around transparency, how government could open up and make its inner workings more open and transparent to people. So a lot of energy, I would say, that, and that kind of reached its peak around 2006-2007, when clearly the opinion polls were very favourable and so on, and there was a sense of new direction and so on around the party. And then Lehman Brothers collapsed, the financial crisis that followed left. I think politics kind of returned to normal then. And if I'm being honest, it looked kind of indulgent, whimsical, maybe even irrelevant to be debating some of those issues, debating national well-being indices, or opening up issues around transparency of government. Suddenly looked, in a sense, a little esoteric, and so an awful lot of politics went back to normal then. But happily and heartening for me, and people who got to devote some time to these issues in the run-up to the election last year, became clear that going into the election, it was going to be defined by the financial crisis. That a message emerged, and that idea came to sort of align and pull together and aggregate up some of those conversations from some of those early days, and to create a kind of political narrative around it, and to create a narrative arc that was going across the Conservative Party manifesto. I felt really heartening that we're going into an election that was going to be defined by the financial crisis and how we were going to deal with it, to bring such a generous idea together and so on. And also seemed to be an urgent message to send to people that we did need to re-examine the relationship between individuals and the state. Not just because of what's happening in the public finances, but also more, I think, more significant cultural and technological changes that were taking place in the world. The inexorable sort of things that you debate here of an evening, the inexorable shift in the world economy from the West to the East, the demographic time bomb, the rising cost of healthcare and so on. All issues which are obviously hugely challenging for Western democracies and so on. So the idea in a sense of looking at the rebalancing of the relationship between the state and citizen, questioning the role of markets, questioning the role of government and so on, seemed to be not an unreasonable idea. Whether it was a big enough idea to take into a general election campaign, whether it was communicated enough, effectively enough in the election campaign, whether it was actually used at all in the election campaign, it's another moot point and so on. But in a sense, that's the kind of Billy Lightfoot idea. It's plainly an idea that's very, very closely associated with our Prime Minister. It starts there in a sense, and it ripples to some extent across Whitehall. But it's obvious to me, in the very early stages of taking on this job, when I go out and meet with officials from other government departments and so on, there's still a degree of bemusement about this, and no sense of being able to see themselves in this idea, utter confusion about it, quite a lot of cynicism about it and so on. So part of what's happening over the next, hopefully the next few months, is beginning to look at ways in which we can correct some of those issues, make people feel that there's a role for them, particularly civil servants and so on. But also look at the whole messaging around it and so on. So, I think, you know, if the Prime Minister was here, he would say he sees the big society built around kind of three kind of principal ideas. One is a programme of radical decentralisation, manifest in the localism bill, as published before Christmas, the sense of trying to look at ways in which you can transfer power from Whitehall to local government, and from local government to local community groups and so on. Hugely audacious kind of and ambitious and so on. I think a lot of the challenges in the localism bill are big bets this government's taking, that people are willing to step up and take on that responsibility. But I think the legislation is mainly enabling. It's enabling people to, you know, make it easier for people to transfer the assets from the state to people. It's making it easier for people if they want to set up a school to do so. It's enabling people to take control of planning at a local level. Big question marks about people want to do that. Big question marks over whether people feel there's enough, they've got enough democracy in their lives. Big challenge in the sense of this big society. Not the case in many other countries, but here certainly the case that this is a big democratic innovation. And the big bet is that people are willing to step up and take on that additional democratic responsibility. Secondary is, and we're going to see a lot more of this in the period up to the summer, is the kind of radical reform of public services. That's have to break up the monopoly of the state in terms of delivering public services. There's a huge amount of energy all around this area at the moment around putting together the Public Service Reform Bill, which will be published, I think, on the 19th of May, certainly around that time. But the plan is to have a radical reform. Basically, we will look at new ways of opening up every part of the public sector to new entrants, public sector organisations, private sector organisations, and critically social enterprises. And some new infrastructure will be announced at that time, which will help gain support and enable the building capacity of some organisations to enter that marketplace. I think that should not be underestimated, the significance of that piece of legislation in terms of trying to do some radical reform of public services. So a huge amount of energy, huge amounts of political capital will be invested in that. And the final area in there that I'm particularly interested in is the boosterism for the social enterprise sector. And obviously there's already been announcements of the creation of what was initially called a big society bank. There will be further announcements of that in the next month or so, but I think it's a much more significant kind of attempt to create investment markets, new investment instruments for social enterprises, to create a much more attractive investment type of environment for the encourage startup businesses in that arena. And I think that one of the things that's been most encouraging in the few months that I've been involved is the extent to which I can see, you can see little buds blossoming all over the place and new ventures coming together, entrepreneurs forming and so on. So to say a little bit of what I'm trying to do at the moment, obviously I'm trying to work as closely as I can to make sure that we put in place much more effective kind of infrastructure to deliver this thing. I mean, it's looking how people understand, make sure that people who are administering the England and Whitehall understand this, understand the affordance of this policy and so on, and find an appropriate way for them to get involved in it. And a series of measures that will be announced shortly on that. Look at the communications around this. There's been problems in terms of getting this message across for lots of reasons that I don't particularly want to go into at the moment, but we are trying to look at new ways of simplifying this message. And being very clear that this is a general attempt to transfer power from politicians to people. It's nothing else, it's that. And finally, really look at new ways of making the people the heroes of the story, whether they're community people, community innovators, community entrepreneurs, social innovators, social enterprises, and so on. So what a lot of what I'm doing is now looking at how we can begin to build and support great new services, We have new business models that support new ways of giving and engaging at a local level. And giving of time, of resources, of expertise, engaging in new ways with civil society, public service organisations, and so on. Now, what's the most heartening thing about doing this job over the last few months is the extent of entrepreneurial energy and zeal, and indeed investment, that there is behind some of these developments. So on the 12th of May, we have a whole day of working with the Prime Minister across a whole suite of initiatives which we're looking at putting in place, showcasing some examples of the big society in action, the people who are stepping up across the country to take on some of this additional responsibility. But also, critically for me, as if in doubt should always back entrepreneurs, is getting behind some of the great entrepreneurs in the UK at the moment. And we've already identified 12 to 15 businesses that we want to support. Some of it, all in different stages of evolution, that we think are potentially groundbreaking, but a potential to scale both nationally and globally. And we think we'll build the kind of services that will make it easier, more accessible, more rewarding, more stimulating, indeed more delightful to engage with civil society and public services, but also, I think, allow how much we can give of our time, our expertise, and our filter. I think the biggest, most exciting innovation in this space across the social enterprise, the venture philanthropy scene, is around the particular new ways in which we can mediate the giving of time and expertise. One of the things I'll be majoring in on the 12th of May, when we're also announcing the publication of the Giving White Paper, is the new ways in which the web, mobile phones, gaming technology and so on are enabling people to do that. There are really exciting examples in the marketplace at the moment. Horse's Mouth, some of you may have heard about, which kind of 30,000 kind of people involved in mentoring and supporting people who want to do something in their lives, want to but looking for support. But the particular area that we are very focused on is the ultra-local, because the big society is a hyper-local, ultra-local issue. It's a little bit about how people interact, where they live, where they work, where they study, and so on. So the area that we're providing stewardship for, providing support for, providing husbandry for, the sort of social enterprises that we think will enable people to work at a local level. Support activities that will bring people together at a local level. If you'd like to find out a lot more about that, I'd love to invite you to the 12th of May. There's a series of events that day which we'll be showcasing some of these new startup businesses and giving people the opportunity to get behind them. And I've just come from the city tonight, we're meeting a whole group of big, very large investors, and it's really interesting in the city. And it's tremendously exciting to have the ability to back these people, not just with money, but with expertise and so on. There's a huge amount of untapped kind of expertise that we can give, whether it's pro bono support in terms of getting these organisations investment ready, getting business planning support, getting legal advice, getting the pro bono marketing and PR support, helping with just the sequencing of the development of these businesses and so on. So I wasn't sure if I would have a chance to share with you some of the businesses and ideas that we're backing, but I'm happy to do that maybe during the course of the next half hour or so. So in a sense, over the course of the next few weeks leading up to the 12th of May, there will be a series of new announcements, the refinement of policy, an attempt to bring a cross-government approach, because I've completely, notwithstanding the fact it's not having house rules, it's plainly obvious that not the whole government being behind this, obviously, explicitly. It's not often you hear many cabinet ministers talk about the big society. And one of the things we want to do is make sure the whole coalition government's behind us, and indeed in my case with the network is trying to get the whole political community involved in some new ways. I do think that, I don't think there's any going back on this. I think we do need a serious grown-up conversation about the whole relationship with state. It's very interesting to see what's happening in the US at the moment, since the publication of Paul Rand's budget proposals and so on, how the sort of debate that they're having in there, the really high-level debate they're having about entitlements and so on in the US. I'm not sure that we've had that debate. In the UK, that grown-up honest debate, in the way that it's beginning, it seemingly emerged in the US. But I don't think there's any going back on this. I think we do need to rebalance the relationship between markets and between government and between civil society. And also, I think of the new ways in which people are affiliated, the new forms of civil association that are occurring. It's easy to be dismissive about the fact that we have Facebook friends and for these virtual communities and so on, but they are plainly going to be significant. And you cannot begin to plan for the future and begin to think about the affordances of those technologies, how they're bringing people together, force this ban into the economic situation. So, so I'm making an apology for being taking a particular focus on that. On the 12th of May, on the anniversary of the formation of the coalition, there'll be a suite of announcements, including the Washington Given White Paper, and a series of other announcements and showcasing opportunities and so on. So begin to start judging us after the 12th of May, whether this thing resonates, whether it sings, whether you feel you can get involved in it and so on. But I hope you are able to. I hope that you can be able to identify some of the things that have been merging forward and see yourselves in them. I'm happy, perhaps later if you're around, and for me to show you some of the things that we're putting in place to support community arts, support imagining new uses of public space, imagine the new ways of looking at fundraising, ways in which we can bring people together to reduce the carbon footprint, a whole suite of different things that we are looking at. But for now, I'm going to stop. I'm going to invite you into this conversation. So thank you.
You've been listening to an audio recording by the Economic Research Council. For more information, visit www.ercouncil.org.